posting the stuff. I got some stuff I want to say, and here he come with his little comments. No, I love Miles. That's my man. I really, really. And when he comes back, my goodness, he told me to tell you he'll be back next week, as y'all probably know. And he's going to, like, dude is recharged, to say the least. Like, he is. He's in really good shape. He's looking good. He's ready to bring it. Still light skin. I should mention that. Other than that, he's, you know, he's in pretty good shape. Him and Debbie are relaxing. I love this church. I really do. I was watching Miles before. Don't tell him. But I was watching before we met, before I really knew he was legit. I was watching. I was like, he seemed pretty cool, man. He's not funny, but other than that, dude seems pretty cool. So let me tell you about me. Like I said, I'm going to connect the dots today. We talked about some stuff before, but I'm going to really connect it today, hopefully. Cool. Awesome. You guys are just getting here right now? Really? Huh. It's 12 o'clock service. I mean, what time do you have to set your alarm for? I'm just... It's cool. Yo, I don't know if East County, North County, cool. I hope y'all watching. If not, it's a little weird that I'm talking to you right now. So I'm excited. I'll tell you, I get to travel all over the world doing comedy. I love it. I perform in Vegas at the casinos, which is fun. I perform in, I've been on all of the late night TV shows except for Letterman. Whatever, Letterman. And I get to perform at churches, which you probably know, because this is a church. Now, it's the same show wherever I go, because it's the same guy wherever I am. It's not like it's two different shows. It's the Vegas Michael Jr. and the church Mike. No, it's the same show. So what's amazing for me doing comedy at churches is when I was a kid, laughing at church was illegal. You couldn't laugh at church. I remember one time laughing at church. I was 7 years old, right? This lady was jumping around. Her wig fell off. That stuff was hysterical. I would laugh. My grandmother would pinch and twist. I can understand a pinch. You're going to twist? That's the devil. That stuff was not cool, man. Church was miserable. Nobody was teaching. There's pastors out there like Miles will teach the word of God. This dude at this church wasn't teaching. He was yelling and mad and screaming. And I think I figured out why he was mad. He was mad because he had some phlegm caught in his throat. Because at the end of every sentence, he would try to get it out. He'd be like, the Lord said, ha! Act like you, ha! I'm like, Grandma, he need to gargle, Grandma. That stuff was miserable. I can understand that. Church lasts 6 hours. We go in the basement and eat a sandwich and come back up. I'm like, was that halftime or something? Dude had a Bible in his hand. He would play like he was going to throw it at people. And everybody would get scared. They'd be like, hey, man, hey, man. I realize now they were saying amen. I didn't know. I was 7. All that stuff was miserable. One time I go to church, there's a dead body in the front. Nobody explains to a 7-year-old Michael Jr., this is a funeral, it's not church. I'm thinking that's how they roll. Like every 3 weeks or so, they bring a dead body in as an example. Some kind of illustration or something. The dude on stage would yell at us like, we did it. I didn't know what was going on. The only explanation I got from the guy, this is all I understood, was he said, he went to see the king. That's it. He went to see the king. And then they called a kids choir up to sing. I was in the kids choir. I can't sing. I was in the kids choir because I was a kid. And what song we got to sing? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. I don't want to see the king. That's what happened to the man in the box. Stuff was miserable. I asked my grandma, I was like, Grandma, what happened to the man in the box? What happened to the man in the box? Her whole explanation was, he in a better place. I'm like, what kind of box did he live in before? I don't understand that stuff, man. So then I turned 14 years old, and instead of forcing me to go to church, my grandmother asked me if I wanted to go. I was like, let me think about it. No. That stuff was miserable. My clothes didn't fit. My shoes were too tight. It was miserable. People yelling and screaming. You got to be there for 6 hours. No, I don't want to go. So I stopped going to church. 15 years old, me and a friend made a pact that we wouldn't curse anymore. I don't know nothing about Jesus, but me and my friend was like, we're not going to curse anymore. If he heard me curse, he could hit me in the chest hard as he wanted to. That was our deal. And if I heard him curse, I could hit him. Dude could hit hard. I stopped cursing immediately. I look back at that and I realize that was really God setting me up to do what I do now. Because had I started doing comedy cursing, it would have been really hard to try to clean it up all of a sudden. God was setting this thing up. So anyway, so I stopped cursing at around 15 years old. We still have fun. We play regular games. Remember the game Slug Bug? We used to play Slug Bug. That was fun. But in my neighborhood, they would take it too far, makeup games. We also played Uppercut Fire Truck. You ever play that one? What about Minivan Body Slam? You ever play that game? Yeah. There was always one crazy dude in our group who would make up games like hit you in the throat, tall building. Dude, they don't even rhyme. Play too much. Neighborhood was poor. Like, it was, our neighborhood was rough. Like, if you wanted a pizza, if you wanted it delivered, the police had to bring it. The play, it was actually called Popo John's. That was the name of the play. It was, Popo, it's like people in East County, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's Popo John. North County, I don't know what you're talking about. I remember singing songs. I would come home singing songs like Old MacDonald Had a Farm. My dad would change the lyrics immediately to better suit our situation. There were no farms where we live. He changed the song to The MacDonald Family Lived in the Hood. I still remember the song. The MacDonald family lived in the hood, E-I-E-I-O. And in the hood, there was a gang, E-I-E-I-O. With a fool, shut your mouth. You don't know me. You better back up. I will bust a cap. Yo mama here, E-I-E-I-O. It had a ring to it. It's easy to remember. So then we decided we're not going to curse anymore. And I remember at that age realizing something wasn't quite right with the way I was thinking. Meaning, like, I had a really hard time reading as a child. I mentioned this before, but now I get to explain the whole thing. Like, I should say I couldn't read, but I ain't going to say that. It's too dramatic. I could read a couple words. Like, as a grown man now, I read just fine. Like, those signs over the door that say excite. Like, I could read that. Some lady just started praying for me just now. She's like, Lord, he still don't know, Lord. He's not there yet. So, no, I read fine now, but when I was a kid, it was hard. Like, if I saw a word and I couldn't figure it out, like, I literally couldn't sound it out. None of that stuff worked for me. So what I would do is my brain would scramble, and I came up with a minimum of 7 different ways to look at one word to determine what the word was. I would look at the font size, the color, the positioning, what's in front of it, how people are responding to it. I came up with all these different ways to look at one word. It was really out of survival. And now I have this ability. It got to the point in high school, I had this ability not just to look at words 7 different ways, I would look at people and situations 7 different ways almost immediately. I look back at that and I realized I had low self-esteem, and the devil was really using that to try to hold me down, talking to me, telling me something was wrong with me, God made a mistake, all of this really negative stuff. But the truth is God was using that exact thing all along to prepare me for what I do now. Because when you see a situation, you see maybe 1 or 2 ways. I got 7 different possibilities almost immediately, which is the primary place I pull my comedy from. So God was setting this thing up long ago. It looked like a handicap, but he was preparing me for what he had for me to do and what he has for me to continue to do. So now, a great example is I have I get these random thoughts. And sometimes they're really funny, just random thoughts. So I think what I decided to do is I'm going to share some of my random thoughts with you. But I'm also going to share with you another talent that a lot of people didn't know I had. I think Miles was aware of it. In fact, he was pretty impressed when he saw it. To play the keyboard. I'm going to play the keyboard for you guys. If y'all didn't know, but I got skills. Thank you. I'm going to play the keyboard. Cool. She's all excited. Calm down, okay? Here we go. So again, these are called Michael Jr.'s random thoughts. Now, the thing about these random thoughts, they're just random thoughts that I have sometimes. They're just random thoughts. So if you understand one of these thoughts, go ahead and laugh and enjoy the thought. But if you don't understand the thought, move on. Because you'll miss the next thought. Okay, these are random thoughts. I'm gonna start to play now. These random thoughts, random. Y'all didn't even know. You didn't know. These are just random thoughts. Why are stay-at-home moms always gone? If a woman gets pregnant in Vegas, does the baby have to stay there? Is it considered natural childbirth if a baby comes out with an afro? Some of y'all don't know what an afro is, huh? Miles used to have one. I've noticed that no one seems to care about the outer city youth. Take your time, man. It's okay. You know, they say 8 out of 10 people don't want to be statistics. Is the word tofu short for tried to fool you? Man, buy some chicken, man. When it comes to sharks, what's so great about the white ones? It's one of my favorites, actually. I met a woman once who had one callus on her foot. Does that make her a unicorn? What should you say when an atheist sneezes? Yo, good luck with that, man. Can I call a white duck a quacker? It's hilarious. The white people laugh and the black people like, I ain't touching that one, bro. I ain't even making that one. Why is abbreviation such a long word? Why are there no mirrors in the self-checkout? Do vegetarians really love animals as much as I do? If God didn't want to eat animals, why'd he make them out of meat? You know, they say 85% of people admit they're not good at math. I'm sure there's people in the audience right now going, wow, I'm glad I'm part of the other 22%. Did old McDonald go bankrupt? Why is the song in the past tense? Are you singing it in your head right now? And finally, if God clapped his hands, wouldn't that make a big bang? Thank you very much. Those are Michael Jr.'s random thoughts. My random thoughts. Told you not to get excited. So I just come up with these random thoughts. I got a whole bunch more, but listen, how do I come up with those? How are we able to laugh for the last 2 minutes based on, because God was preparing me to do what I do now. Even though it looked like a handicap, the truth is it wasn't a handicap. I was practicing for what God has me to do. I mean, I just flat out was. So now I turned 26 years old. I moved to New York. You got to keep track. I'm a 7, 14, 26. Moved to New York for my comedy career. Because in New York, if you're not funny, the way they let you know is they'll say something like, you're not funny. So I moved to New York. I'm like, yo, I'm going to get this comedy career. I'm going to see what's going on. And there's this club in New York called the Comic Strip Live. It's one of the hardest clubs in the country to get into, especially in New York. On Tuesday nights, they have an open mic. And it's at 7 p.m., and comedians start lining up at 6 a.m. It's ridiculous. So they can do like 90 seconds to 3 minutes in front of the manager, and then hopefully he'll call them back. So it's finally my turn to perform at the Comic Strip Live. I'm about to get on stage, and this comedian named George Wallace walks in. If you know who George Wallace is great. I love George Wallace. One of my favorite jokes that he does is he says he was in China and he bought a pair of shoes. He looked at the bottom of them and it said, made right around the corner. Which is great, but here's the problem. Whenever someone like that walks into the club, whoever's next gets bumped. I was next. I'm about to get bumped. The manager's walking over to me and I already know he's going to bump me. But no, this is where God shows up for the first time in my life. Well, this is where I noticed him. The manager comes over. He says, listen, Michael, George Wiles is here. Do you want to go on before him or after him? I was like, well, let me go on before him. So I go on before George Wiles. And I walk out on stage. I start doing my jokes. And I got New Yorkers laughing. Not only are New Yorkers laughing, but George Wiles comes in. He's laughing too. I'm like, oh, snap. I might be able to do this. So I'm doing comedy, having fun. I get off stage. There's a bunch of comedians around George Wiles, asking him all these questions. He leaves them, comes over to me. And he says, you're really funny, and you're clean. He said, let me ask you a question. Why don't you curse? And I was like, I don't know. What if my grandmother walk in or something? That's all I could really say, because I'm a grown man at this point. What if I would have said, you know, my friend might hit me in the chest? So he laughs. He says, you know what? You're funny. You're clean. I'd love for you to do a show with me and my best friend in a couple nights. I was like, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't even know who his best friend was. It ain't matter. I'm about to do a show with him. I get to the show. It's me, him, Jerry Seinfeld. I was like, that is pretty hot, right? So I go there. I do two shows. I get two standing ovations. I rip. I'm the man. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Afterwards, my manager walks up to me. He's like, hey, Michael, you want to go to church with me tomorrow? Why are you messing this up right now, dude? I just got two stand. I ain't going to no church. Because every time I saw a church on TV, it was somebody was like, I was on drugs and I found Jesus. I wasn't trying to hear that. That's not my story. I didn't know I had an arrogance about me, but apparently I did. Because listen, at this point, and I don't say this to brag, I don't need you to clap, but I didn't smoke. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't even curse. You trying to tell me about Jesus? I don't hear about no Jesus stuff, man. Back up. Or somebody would be like, I almost died, then I found Jesus. I was like, whatever, you was going to meet the other dude if you didn't. Click, 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 click. I didn't care about that stuff. I was like, I don't care. And then his fiance, like 20 minutes later, she asked me if I wanted to go. And she was fine. I'm talking about she was like, she had some kind of accent too. And she was beautiful. She walked up to me. She was like, Michael Jr., would you like to go to church with us? And I was like, you know, I was just looking for a church the other day, man. Shoot, I was just saying to myself how I need to find a church. So I go to this church for the wrong reasons. I can't even find them people when I get there. They ain't nowhere around. So I'm sitting way in the back, and this dude gets up on stage, and he's talking about Jesus. He's just talking. He's just explaining it. Like Pastor Miles does. He's just bringing the word. He ain't screaming. He ain't yelling. He don't got no perm. Dude just talking. Miles almost looked like he got a perm. It's kind of close. You ever notice that? He's just talking about Jesus. Then he did a thing. He said, if you want Jesus in your life, all you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, come forward, Jesus could be yours. And I wanted to go to the altar, but I was like, I got to read the pamphlet first. I don't know what this is about. It could be weird. Because there's some creepy Christians out there. For real, some creepy. If you don't know no creepy Christians, you are a creepy Christian. I'm just saying, if you don't, there's some creepy Christians out. You ever hear somebody, their voice change, they start talking about God? Like, yo, man, what's up? How you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. How you doing? Can I tell you about the Lord? What is wrong? What is wrong with your voice? Or people start praying with you without permission? You ever had that happen? You're just talking. Hey, you see the game? That was a good game. Man, that game was good. God, we just thank you for being so holy, so awesome. Lord, just bless you. I'm like, what are you doing right now? Are you praying? This is creepy. Some Christians are just oversaved, man. Just saying, oversaved. This is an oversaved. Here's a couple examples of being oversaved. If you don't mess around with computers because it got a cursor, you were oversaved, man. I'm just letting you know. What else? If you rebuke vacuum cleaners because it's a dirt devil, it's overstated. So I didn't want to be creepy. I just didn't want to be creepy. So I told myself I'd read the whole Bible first. I didn't know the Bible was that big. I got to be real with you. So I get a Bible. This lady hands me a Bible. I start reading this Bible, and I'm digging into the Word of God because I really want to go to the altar, but I got to read the Bible first. I wanted to read the Bible first. You don't have to, by any means. You don't, because there'd be a lot of people who just would be like, you know what, this is too long. Is there a video? So I'm reading the Bible, digging into the Word of God. I'm going to church, reading the Bible, and I really want to go to the altar. So I started putting in some serious, I put in like 12 hours a day, 12 to 14 hours a day, reading the Word of God. That's like 8 pages a day. I was digging in, yo. I was like. So I'm digging into the Word of God. I remember we're getting to the part in Matthew where it said Jesus died for me. Yeah, I didn't even know that Jesus died for me until I was 27 years old. I had a birthday, turned 27. I didn't even know that Jesus died for me until I was 27 years old. I read it right there in Matthew. He died. I didn't even know. Then I turned to Mark, and he died again. I was like, what is going on? Luke and John, I'm like, why they keep killing him? What they doing, man? I don't understand what's going on. I ain't get it. I just didn't know what was going on. So I'm reading the Bible, digging into the Word, reading the Bible. Got to the part of Revelations. Got all scared. Started reading fast. The letters are red. I didn't understand that. Figure it out, though. The Bible is like paying bills. Pay attention to everything, but when you see some red ink, you better do something, right, before something happens. Now I understand some stuff. Before I just thought I was funny. Now I understand, yo, I'm funny for a reason. God has purpose behind this funny. He has purpose behind you and your gift, your talent, your abilities. He has a plan for it. He knows the plans that he has for you, his plans to prosper you. I used to think that I get a lot of celebrities who will ask me to explain God to them. And I'm like, dude, I can't explain God. If someone could explain God, he wouldn't be God. I can't explain God. I'll give you a bare, like, so this is what I say to people, and this ain't even close, but God is like similar to a navigation device in your car. You ever been in a car with a navigation device before? You ever been in a car before? You ever been in a car? God is like a navigation device in your car. If you punch in the coordinates as to where you want to go, and it says go 10 blocks and turn left, then you go 10 blocks and turn right. It doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It recalculates what you need to do to get to where you're supposed to be based upon where you are. Only problem is if you keep making the wrong turns, the road conditions are going to be different. They may be rougher and you're running out of time. So you have to be sensitive to listen to that voice to make the right choice about where you're supposed to be. And a voice is really not that hard to hear. A lot of times people will hear the voice. Here's an example. God has a lot of names. We know some of his names, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. He got a lot of names. Another name that God has, he shared it with me. Nobody else knew it, now I get to share it with the rest of the world. Another name God has is something. S-O-M-E-T-H-I-N-G, something. I'm going to prove it right now before the Sadducees leave the room. Another name God has is something. We always get a choice in life. We could choose A, which is the right thing to do, or we could choose B, which looks like fun. And sometimes you choose B and you got to deal with the consequences from choosing B. And while you're dealing with the consequences, one of the first things that come out your mouth is, man, something told me not to do this. Here's the thing. There's a grip of people in here. Grip means a lot. There's a grip of people in here. Something told you to come to church today. And something was right. Let me just say that. So God has a bunch of names. So there's a club in Los Angeles that is really, it's a really great club. It's probably the number one club in the country. It's called the Condé Magic Club. It's in Hermosa Beach. I love this club. The way I got into the club is George Wallace happened to be in Los Angeles. He knew I was there. He took me into the Condé Magic Club. I walk into the green room. This club is so prestigious. I walk into the green room, and in the green room is Gary Shanley, now George Wallace, and Jay Leno. These are soldiers in comedy. I'm brand new in town. At the time, they were working on a joke. A football player got hit in the eye with a flag. Anybody remember that? He got hit in the eye with a flag. He was suing the league for $400 million. Leno and these guys are working on a joke for Jay Leno's monologue for The Tonight Show. I ain't saying nothing. I'm just happy to be in the room. But your gift will make room for you. So I'm sitting there, they're working on a joke, then it got quiet and they looked at me. And I was like, oh, snap. This is an opportunity. So I was like, all right, let me see if I got this right. He got hit in the eye with a flag. He lost his vision in one eye, and he's suing a league for $400 million. He's not going to see half of it. For real. Yo, how do I get that joke that fast under that much pressure? Yo, I was practicing. I've been practicing since I was a kid in the form of somebody who couldn't read and thought something was wrong with him, thought God messed up on him. I was practicing. I thought I was dealt a bad hand. No. I was practicing. God was using that. So now I'm in the club on a regular basis, headlining there, having a great time. It's fun. We're having a blast. And I did a prayer before I went up on stage. I don't always pray before I go on stage because I don't want to be religious about it. And then God might say something and I want to do something different, so I don't really listen. Not true. I'll do a prayer right beforehand, and God gave me a change in mindset about comedy. Normally, when a comedian gets on stage, he wants to get what? Laughs. I was all about getting laughs. God said, no. I want you to go up there and give them an opportunity to laugh, which changed the whole game. Because now I'm not looking to take, I'm looking for an opportunity to give. He gave me a change in mindset. What is a mindset? A mindset is a fixed mental attitude that predetermines a person's response or interpretation to a situation. I'm going to say it again because it's not on the screen. What is a mindset? A mindset is a fixed mental attitude that predetermines a person's response or interpretation to a situation. You get cut off in traffic, we already know what you're going to do. You're going to chase them home. You see a sign up front that says there's an accident ahead, you mad, now you're going to be late. A change in mindset says, man, there's an accident ahead, I should pray. So God gave me this change in mindset about comedy. Instead of getting laughs, give them an opportunity to laugh. So I get up on stage, I do my show, we have a great time. I leave the club that night, there's people around, they're buying all my stuff, they want autographs. We'll do the same, it'll be just like when we leave here tonight. I'm talking to all the people outside. At this club, you go outside afterwards, and I'm talking to the people, we're having fun, and I look across the street, and I saw a homeless guy. I had never seen a homeless guy outside this club before, ever, and I've headlined there many a times. But that doesn't mean he wasn't there before. Before, my mindset was to get laughs from people. Why would I even notice a homeless guy? My mindset has changed, and I see him, and I ask God, what about him? How could I give him an opportunity to laugh? And then God was like, you really want to know? And I was like, nope. Because you know it's going to be an assignment or something. Then I said, yes. And we went and did this comedy tour like no other tour. First place he went to was Fort Worth, Texas, Samaritan House. Everyone there was homeless and they have HIV. I didn't think they were going to laugh. They brought them all together and they laughed. One dude, they already told me, he don't talk to nobody. Don't try to talk to him. Afterwards, he's walking over to me. I'm like, what is he gonna do right now if he don't talk to nobody? He walked up to me and he said, I want you to know that up until tonight, I hadn't laughed in over 20 years. When he said that, I almost started crying. I was like, man, I ain't gonna be crying. You better back up. We leave there, we go to Montrose, Colorado. There's a place there called the Dolphin House. They take care of children who are being abused by their parents on drugs. And his grandmother tells him about her grandson whose mom has been abusing him. One of the things she's been doing, she's been pulling out his toenails. And she tells me how this little boy is so afraid of his mom. Everywhere he goes, he wears a Spider-Man costume. And I hear his story, and I hear all these other kids' stories. Then they bring them all in, and I got to do jokes for them. If my mindset was still to get laughter from people, there's no way I would have been able to do the show. But my mindset was changed. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mindset was changed to giving them an opportunity to laugh, so I had to do the show. I get up on stage, I see all these kids, and I know their stories. Sitting right up front, Spider-Man, full costume. 20, 25 minutes into it, people are laughing, we're having a good time, and I hear a voice come from right here, and the voice says, My name is Ronan. This little boy pulls off his mask, introduces himself to me. He starts talking to me for like 9 minutes like I'm not doing a comedy show. He talked about Spider-Man, talked about Batman. He said, Batman has a belt. I was like, you know what? I got a belt too if you don't sit down somewhere. Listen, Rock, I can guarantee you it was not in my notes to do a joke about whooping kids in a room full of abused kids. It was the biggest laugh of the night. Like, God knew what comedy needed to be done. I just had to be obedient, jump out there, and go. We leave there, we go to Skid Row. That stuff was scary. We went to a youth prison. It was a little hard, but they just want you to banter with them. I'm like, yo, I got this. I grew up doing this. They want to banter back and forth. I was like, you know what? You know what will go good with that muscle shirt? Some muscles. I'm like, what is that, a wife threatener? So, yeah, it was fun. Yeah. So that was cool at the youth prison, but then we go to an adult prison. Yo, these are real dudes doing serious time. I'm going there to do jokes and leave, hopefully. Soon as I walk in, the warden takes my belt from me. He's like, you can't have a belt. Somebody might try to hang you. I'm like, can't they just boo me or something? Why they gotta hang me? I'm in prison, my pants loose. This is a bad idea, man. What are you saying? Man, I got 7 different ways to look at this, man. So I'm all scared, man. I'm walking into prison and bars, they open in front of you and they close behind you. They open in front of you, they close. Some of y'all already know what I'm talking about. I ain't gotta explain. So I'm scared for real. I need a joke immediately. I need them to like me immediately, but not too much, you know? So I'm walking in there. I need a joke immediately. I got nothing. I had a joke before I got in there. I thought it was gonna be hysterical. I was gonna say, you know, you guys are a captive audience. I just wanna say that. I didn't feel a peace in my spirit once I got inside. So I have no joke. I don't know what I'm going to say. I have zero idea what I'm going to say. I'm walking in. I walk in. There's no stage. There's no glass. We're not doing comedy on the phone. These cats are right here expecting funny. I have 2 steps left before I need to bring the funny. I put this first foot down. I got nothing. 7 different ways to nothing. I picked this next foot up. I still got nothing. I set this foot down, and I look right up front, and for real, sitting right up front, it's a white dude with a white beard named Moses. I was like, thanks, Lord. I appreciate this. I looked at Moses, and when I said these words, the place exploded in laughter. We had an amazing time. I said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. When you see the prison warden, I want you to look him in his eye. You look him right in his eye, and I want you to say, let my people go. For real. 2 things you gotta catch. I didn't know what I was gonna say or what I was gonna do until I got my feet where they needed to be. The other thing is how did I even get that fast, that quick? It just showed, kabang, just like that. I was practicing. God was with me, and I had been practicing for years for moments just like that in the next moments to come. I was practicing in the form of what looked like a handicap. So your dad's never been around. So you were adopted. You were given up. You were on alcohol. You were on drugs. You were practicing for something amazing God has in store for you. The thing is you're practicing for the game. You got to get in the game. You got to be able to hear the coach's voice. The only way you can hear the coach's voice is by letting him in. Other than that, you're just in the gym working out for nothing. You ever see somebody in the gym on a treadmill and then the gym closed and they still in there running around in circles? That's pretty ridiculous. You guys have been, there's people in here who have been working out. You've been at the gym. You've been practicing. It's time to get in the game. The coach is ready to call you into the game. So check it. I'm going to tell you the story. In case you haven't made the connection to coaches like Jesus, I thought that was pretty smooth. Little transition. Some people didn't grab it though, so I thought I'd explain it, which is. I'm gonna tell you a story about what it's like to have a relationship about Jesus. God shared this with me. I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning writing comedy because I wake up early. I got 5 kids. you got to do something to get some quiet time. You got five kids. So I wake up early. I'm writing this joke about how some people have in their house a good room. You know what the good room is? That room that with the plastic on the furniture. Can't nobody go in there. It just look good. It's pretty. You go in there, you're going to get pinched and twist. It's your grandmother room. Your aunt got one. Somebody got a good room. So I was writing a joke about that, and God stopped me in the middle of writing a joke and said, I want you to tell this story to my people. Almost forgot to. This morning when I was praying, or last night when I was praying, I said, God, what do you want me to tell the people? And he said, I just tell you that he loves you. Okay, I'm going to go back into what I was just talking about. So the good room. I'm writing this joke. God speaks to me, and he wants me to share this with you. Imagine that everyone in this room, everyone watching at the other locations, everyone watching online, imagine that you're a house. Imagine that you are a house. And outside of the house is Jesus Christ. And he wants to come in. But he'll never force his way in. He wants you to invite him in. And the reason some people won't invite Jesus into the house is because you're cool with the way things are right now. When you need something, you walk up to the door, you crack it open, or maybe if you talk through the door, you say what you need, close the door back, go back into the house. But that's not a relationship at all, is it? And the reason some people won't invite Jesus into the house is because your house is a mess. And you think you need to clean it up first. Because he might be disappointed in what the house looks like. He can already see inside the house. You think you got to clean it up first. You've probably brought things into the house to try to distract you from the mess. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. Hoping it would distract you from the mess. But the house is even messier. You've probably invited other people into the house in hopes that they could help you clean it up. But that's not really working out, is it? The only person who can clean it up is standing outside the house wearing an apron with a bucket in his hand, waiting on you to open the door. And then there's people in this room right now, watching right now, who used to have Jesus in the entire house, but for some reason or another, you've tried to evict him. You've moved them to just one room in the house, the good room. Have you ever noticed how the good room most of the time is a room right up front with the big window? So when people walk by, they look into the house and they're like, wow, that house is clean. Wow, they go to church just about every Sunday. That person really has Jesus. But Jesus doesn't have you. The rest of the house is a mess. He's only got that one room. And he wants access to the entire house. That is why something told you to be here today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give some people some opportunities to open the door, let Jesus in the house. And this is what we're going to do. I want everyone who can hear my voice, everyone right now, I need you to close your eyes, bow your head. Now listen, this is very important. The reason you close your eyes and bow your head, I used to think that they're trying to get my money or something. That's what I used to think. It's not. This is what it is. The reason we do this is we want you to have a private moment, you and God, and you're listening to my voice. If you know that you need to invite Jesus into your house, I want you to do something. On the count of three, I'm just going to want you to put your hand in the air. It's going to be really simple. All you have to do is put your hand in the air and say, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my entire house. It's going to be really simple. On the count of three. One, two, three. Nice and high. Put them up nice and high. Nice and high. Praise God. Praise God. I see them hands. There's a grip of hands up there. Grip means a lot. I see your hands. I got you. That's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I see those hands. I see them. Listen, there's some people in the room right now, and you are thinking right now, I can't raise my hand because the people around me think that I'm a sold-out Christian. You need to raise your hand right now because it's not about them people. It's about you and a relationship with God. Raise your hand right now. Okay, everyone put your hands down. I'm going to ask you to do something else. This is where the money is. This is where the money is. I'm not going to give you a check, a slang for this is the best part. Jesus says this. He says, if you will take a stand for me before men, I will stand for you before my Father in heaven. So what this is going to look like is you are going to take a public stand for Jesus. You don't got to talk. You don't have no public speaking, but you will stand to your feet and you will come forward. If you can do this, Jesus says, I will stand for you before my Father in heaven. That means when it's time to go to heaven and everybody's like, yo, you can't get in, Jesus is going to be like, yo, she's with me. And if you can't do it in here where we're proud of you, you won't be able to do it when you go outside these doors. So on the count of three, everyone who raised their hand, everyone who should have raised their hand or wish they would have raised their hand, I'm going to want you to stand to your feet, come forward. And to help with that, everyone else is going to applaud as loud as they could possibly applaud, but it will not compare to the applause that the angels in heaven will be doing when you stand to your feet. One, two, three. Come on down. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on down. Come on down. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. God bless you. 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 God bless you, bro. God bless you, bro. God bless you, man. God bless you. Come on. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you, bro. God bless you. Yo, God bless you. Stay down here. Stay down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. Chargers fan. God bless you. Come on down. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you, bro. God bless you. Y'all can come in. Come on. Come on in. Slide in. They're still coming. Push in a little bit. Come on in a little bit. Come on in a little bit. Oh, God bless you. 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 God bless you, bro. You're all tall. You can reach over here. God bless you. God bless you. Ooh, you brought your drinks in. God bless you. Go ahead and say Jesus. That's awesome. God bless you, man. God bless you. Y'all are pretty. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. Don't be looking up at me like that. God bless you. I'm just playing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, snap. It's a slew. They still coming. Y'all can push in. Y'all can push in. Yo, God bless you, man. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Make some room. Push in. Push in. Because I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. It's going to be awesome. Wow. Praise God. This is so awesome. Yeah, come on in. You can come in. Because we're going to pray. Yeah, look at the pretty little baby. It's so cute. She is pushing her mom down. Come on, mama. That is so awesome. I am crying. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. Yeah, it's not too late. You keep coming down. Wow, they're still coming. Keep clapping. You ain't doing nothing but clapping. Good choice, man. Good choice. Good choice. Good choice. Good choice. Great choice, bro. Good choice, man. Good choice. Good choice. Good choice. Wow, it's still coming. Our pretty stuff is so awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's so awesome. Yeah. Miles is watching online. Yes, God bless you. Yo, God bless you. Thanks for coming down. Yo, tall and pretty and stuff. God bless you. God bless you. I ain't gonna fall off the stage for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. All right. Wow, they're still coming. My bad. Wow, praise God. Okay. Wow, they still coming through. Where y'all coming from? East County or something? Took a while to get. They come from North County. That's great. They just come on down. You can come down. You can come down. You can come down. You can come down. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So we're going to pray. All right. So we're going to pray. So listen, this is very, very, very extremely, extremely, very, very, very important. What's going to happen now is we're going to pray. But you're not going to change. You're not going to grow some wings and be an angel all of a sudden. So it's going to take some work. There's some people up here. Yeah, you should stop having sex with that person. Yes. It was for real. So listen, we're going to pray, and then they're going to ask you to go that way. And please go. It's not going to be creepy. I don't go to creepy churches. It's very important that you get the information that they have for you. It's so important. Listen, Miles and his team are so strategic in making sure you get plugged in. And if you don't have a church home, my goodness, I know of a really good one, really close to here. I'm telling you, if I lived here, I would absolutely be going to this church. Like, anyways. So right now, I was talking about, right now you're like a small tree that's just got planted. Even if you were a Christian before, you just made a decision. You just put a stake in the ground. So you're like a small tree. Have you ever seen a small tree get planted? There's always those little steel bars next to it with the little like wires attached to the tree. What those are for, it's so the tree can grow in the right direction because the wind will come. And those stabilizer bars represent other Christians who can stand next to you and help keep you strong and growing in the right direction. And that is so important that you have those people around you. Because the wind will come. Because the wind will come and you need to know what to do, and they can tell you what to do. They're like, yo, here come the wind, I got you. I'm telling you, it's hugely important. So we're going to pray. You're going to go out that door. It's not going to be creepy. Ain't nobody going to be talking like this. It's going to be just fine. We go out the door. And listen, we're laughing at an altar call. You just made a huge decision right now. And we're laughing in the midst of the altar call. Why? Because God is different than you think. Listen, what father doesn't want to hear his kids laugh? He wants to hear you laugh. All right, so we're going to pray. You guys are just repeat after me. And then Tommy's going to give you some direction to go out there.